I don't know if you're keeping count, but we're in week 11 of our Gift of the Spirit series, and we want to experience the life, love, and power of God together. We are focusing for Advent on four characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter, the healer, the giver, and the lover. The comforter, the healer, the giver, and the lover. And so last week, Pastor Ben did a fantastic job, you know, speaking on the Spirit as the comforter, the great comforter. And today we're going to focus on the healer, the Spirit of God as the healer. Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Jesus, you're here. You're here, you're with us. You're moving in this room, and we are praying and asking that in the same way as you move throughout the villages of Galilee and Judea, that you would move among us today, and that you would heal us spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and physically. Would you come and heal your people? And we pray this in your powerful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, North Langley, I have like so much to say and so little time to say it in, which is usually my problem. So I'm going to try to move quick. So remember, the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. In John 14, we read this. Jesus said that the Spirit would be just like him. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, focus on that word, another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Last week, if you remember, Pastor Ben highlighted the fact that there are two Greek words for another, and this is an insight that Ben and I received from Pastor Daryl Johnson. Daryl Johnson makes the point that there in the Greek, there are two Greek words for another, the English word another. One word is heteros. That's another of a different kind. But the word here is the word allos or allon, which is another of the same kind, the same kind. In other words, the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind as Jesus. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. So look at Jesus and see what the Spirit is like. So look at Jesus again, Matthew 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Look at Jesus, and that's what the Spirit is like. I want to share a few insights about Jesus, and I gleaned these from Pastor Sam Storms from Bridgeway Church, and was really helped by his insights on the ministry of Jesus. So just notice a few things. I want to make five very quick statements about Jesus and healing. Number one, Jesus healed so many people, right? So many people. You cannot read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and ignore the amount of people Jesus healed. In other words, healing is not some secondary thing in Jesus' ministry. It seems to be massively important to Jesus. Secondly, Jesus healed everyone who came to him and asked for healing. Can you think of a moment when someone came to Jesus, asked for healing, and he turned them away saying no? That's not to say that Jesus healed everyone in a village. That's not it. But he never turns anyone away who asks him for healing. Third, Jesus never afflicted anyone with a disease. Jesus never makes someone sick. Jesus, who is God, doesn't seem to make people sick in order to test them or challenge them. Sickness, for Jesus, always seems like an enemy, like something that shouldn't be there. Now, those who are faithful to Jesus amidst their sickness, those who glorify God within their weakness, man, that's beautiful. That brings glory to God, for sure. But the sickness itself, if you just watch Jesus, if you were just reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the sickness always seems to be an enemy. It's not part of a new creation. Fourth, by the way, I'm trying to build tension here in the room. Are you feeling it? Okay. Fourth, Jesus' healings were motivated by compassion. Compassion. If you've been around North Langley any length of time, you'll know that one of my favorite Greek words is the word for compassion. It's splagnitzomai. Splagnitzomai. It's to feel something within your bowels, to feel it in your gut. Some of you have felt compassion for someone. You just feel it deep down. It's splagnitzomai, right? Whenever Jesus seems to move about in his healing ministry, he feels compassion. It's always rooted in compassion. Now, here's the deal about compassion. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if the Holy Spirit is another just like Jesus, that means that Jesus doesn't have compassion then and indifference today. He doesn't have compassion 2,000 years ago in Galilee and Judea, and today in this room have indifference to your suffering and your pain. No, he has compassion now, today. Finally, number five, Jesus commands his followers / disciples / apprentices to heal the sick. Listen to Luke chapter 10. Jesus says to his followers, "When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you." Look at Jesus. And when you see the heart of Jesus, you are seeing the heart of the Holy Spirit. Five quick lessons. Jesus healed so many people. Jesus healed everyone who came to him and asked for healing. Jesus never afflicted anyone with a disease. Jesus' healings were motivated by compassion. And Jesus commands his followers, disciples, apprentices to heal the sick. So now, today, the Spirit of Jesus himself is with us, and he gives us gifts of healing. And this is not on the screen, but I just want to read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Did you hear it in there? It's embedded halfway through the list of manifestations of the Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Most of the places where we see this, it's actually in the plural, gifts of healings by that one Spirit. I was with a team from our church a number of years ago, and we went to Mexico. And we were grouped up in small groups, and we were being sent out into a poor neighborhood. We were partnered with a church there in Mexico, and some of you guys in the room were probably on this trip, but we were partnered with the church, and then we were sent out in these little teams, and we were in clusters of like 5-6 people, small groups, and we carried with us these like blessing baskets or whatever to give to some poor homes up on a hill outside the city of Ensenada. And so we were up in the hills, and we came to a little home. And what we were going to do is we were going to drop off a gift and then just simply ask, is there anything you need prayer for? Pray and then move on. And so we were welcomed into this house, and this mom welcomed us into her home, and she had a couple of children there. And one was a little girl, and the girl was about 5-6 years old. And so we had said, "Would you like prayer for anything?" And she said, "Well, I would love prayer for healing for my daughter." And just so, you know, just a little bit of the history of Matthew, like I have been quite cynical when it comes to healing, right? And so instantly I'm like, oh no, prayer for healing. It just kind of, you go, oh, you know, Lord, are you gonna move? But we're like, yep, let's do this, let's pray. And so we prayed for him. And the mom had said her eyes, she can't see. that she can see a tiny bit, but she can't see very well. And so we prayed. We prayed for this girl. And then all of a sudden, the girl said that she could see when we prayed for her. And again, skeptic, Matthew. So what I start doing is I start moving back in the house further and further back, and I'm holding up different fingers, right? And she in Spanish is like, cuatro. I'm like, dos. You know, and like I'm doing the finger thing on the other end of the house, like actually pretty far away. Her mother is bawling, like just weeping for joy. And now here's the deal, North Langley. I have no doctor's note. I have no note from the eye doctor to prove to you this miracle. I myself am very cynical about some of these things, but all I can tell you is that when we prayed for healing, the girl, the little girl, right, said, I can see. And the finger test worked, and the mom, that was the big thing for me, she was weeping with joy. She was weeping. Now, what a beautiful moment that God just moves in to this poor community up on a mountainside, a little girl whose family probably doesn't have enough money to go to the eye doctor, and God used us to be able to bless this family and this little girl with being able to see. I felt so honored that I was part of that. And I was so grateful that the Holy Spirit was moving and working through our team. Like, he is the healer. He's one of the same kind, Alon. The Spirit is just like Jesus. In the same way that Jesus walked around Galilee and Judea, he's walking among us today. The Holy Spirit wants to bring healing and all kinds of healing. And as I prayed this earlier, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, relational healing, spiritual healing. I mean, the greatest healing that will ever happen for you and I is the miracle of the new birth, right? That you have been saved from sin and death and darkness. It's the greatest miracle. It's the great moment of healing when the back of Jesus was torn apart when he was crucified. But the scriptures say that by his wounds you have been healed, right? It's the great healing. It's available to all of us. And I want to make just a little comment about healing. So all healing, Christians believe that all healing is God's healing, whether miracle or medicine, whether through miracle or medicine. Both are God's good gifts to the world. A number of years ago, my friend Jesse Krause, some of you know the Krause family who are part of our church family, Jesse, who's such an amazing young man, he was just 10 years old when he got sick. He was feeling tired and he had stomach pain. And Jesse was eventually diagnosed with mature B-cell Burkitt's lymphoma, a type of cancer that attacks the lymphatic system. Jesse walked like a champ through 3 months of intense chemotherapy. He spent a total of 76 continuous days at BC Children's Hospital before he was able to come home and sleep in his own bed. But even after that, some further treatments happened. And Jesse, through that moment, or through that time at BC Children's, was healed. And today, he's alive, and he is healed. And the good work of the team at BC Children's Hospital led to Jesse's healing. And what do? We praise God for that. God is so good. God worked in and through the medical team to bring healing. I'm so grateful to God that Jesse is alive and that he's well and he lives right here in Walnut Grove and he's walking around and you could say hi to him today, right? Praise God, right? So good. And think about medicine when it's used well. The minds of the doctors and nurses and scientists, the tools that are used in medicine, does it not all come from a good creator? Many of us, I say us, many of you would not have become nurses or doctors or scientists. I'd be terrible at any of that, right? But anyways, you wouldn't have become nurses, doctors, or scientists if you didn't think that your good, smart skills could honor God and love your neighbor. As Christians, we believe that God works through creation itself and gives us the gift of medicine. What we call that theologically, it's a common grace for humanity. All healing is something we can praise God for. We celebrate it. And we believe in a God of miracles too. To my cynical friends in the room, if you're a Christian, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Then you believe in healing, right? That's an incredible healing, right? From a crucified body to a risen Savior, right? So that is God's miracle, right? Every Easter, we celebrate the greatest miracle, that Jesus is alive. Hey, fun aside, if you want to explore Christian miracles, I'd encourage you to check out Craig Keener. So this is not on the screen. You're going to have to remember this or write this down or something. Who remembers anything these days, by the way? We've got phones, right? My memory is getting way worse. I don't know if you're like me, but anyway. So you have to remember this. So Craig Keener's two-volume book entitled Miracles, The Credibility of the New Testament Accounts. So it's not just about the New Testament. Craig Keener goes through miracle story after miracle story in the modern age. He backs it up with credible eyewitnesses and doctors and so on and so forth. It's Craig Keener, some of you know, is one of the most highly regarded New Testament theologians alive today. He has his PhD from Duke. He teaches at Asbury. This two-volume compilation is 1,100 pages of miracle story after miracle story. It's incredible. And what he's doing is he's confronting the teachings of David Hume. Hume had argued that there are no credible witnesses to healings, and that if you meet someone who has witnessed a healing, they aren't credible because there are no credible witnesses to healings. A circular argument, if I've ever heard one. So Craig Keener kind of dismantles that and then shows evidences of God working miracles today. Also, if you're interested in another book that unpacks how rational human beings can try to make sense of the miraculous, it's C.S. Lewis' book, Miracles. It's a great read, and I would encourage you to check those out. But in our cynicism, God kind of moves in and makes us very aware that he's there. And this has happened to me numerous times. Like I told you, that story in Mexico. But I also told you another story earlier on in this series of God moving into my cynical heart. And I was right here in a chapel. I'll tell the story again. I know most of you have heard this, but I was in a chapel one night about 10 years ago praying. And we were praying and we kind of had our eyes closed. We were just asking God for him to speak to us. And I got this pain in my side. What I later found out is that's a thing, and it's called a sympathy pain. And so I had this pain in my side, and I was like, what is going on? This was 10 years ago, so I wasn't getting weird pains in my body. 10 years later, things are starting to change. But I was like, wow, it's weird. I don't have pain in my back. And I felt led to ask the person to my right if he had pain. And so in his back. And so I asked him, and he's like, absolutely, I have pain in my back. And I said, I feel like God's asking me to pray for you. And so we prayed for him, and that night, he experienced a healing. Now, Northangley, just so you know, I don't have like a doctor's note about that night. I also don't know how he's doing right now with his back. I could ask him. I should ask him. But I don't know how he's doing right now with his back. But for that night, he experienced the love of God. He experienced God touching his back and bringing healing. At least that day. And I praise God for that, right? These are ways in which God moves into Matthew's cynicism and just says, I'm here. Listen, I'm moving. I'm doing things in people's lives. But if I'm honest, I have prayed for many people who have not been healed in this life. You know, Christians are quick to say God always heals in heaven and he heals in the new heavens and new earth. I get that. But I'm talking about this life, right? If you were to ask me for the rate at which God answers my prayers for healing versus people who have not been healed by Matthew praying for them, the amount of times I've witnessed instant healing is incredibly low compared to the times that people aren't healed. And so what do I do when God doesn't seem to heal those that I pray for? Or for you who are dealing with a pain or a sickness, what does God do when it feels, or what do you do when it feels like God passed you over and isn't leaning in and isn't healing? Casimir Pulaski Day by Sufjan Stevens is a picture of an evening, a Bible study that takes place. And there's prayer for someone who has cancer. And here's some of the lyrics. Tuesday night at the Bible study, we lift our hands and pray over your body, but nothing ever happens. All the glory when he took our place, but he took my shoulders and he shook my face, and he takes and he takes and he takes. This is a lament. And Sufjan's articulating the pain of unanswered prayer for the healing of a friend with cancer. He knows that it's the gift of God that he took our place. Like, it's like this, you know, He's that he knows the cross. He knows that by his wounds we're healed. But it feels like God just takes and takes. And this year at North Langley, many of us have watched people taken from us, both young and old, right? We felt that the prayers that we prayed weren't answered. And in the New Testament, we have a few examples of people not seeming to be healed. You know, with Jesus, it feels like it's 100%, always. But then later on in the book of Acts and Timothy and 1st, 2nd Timothy and Galatians, we seem to have these examples of some people who aren't healed. So, for instance, if you just go to Galatians 4, you can do this on your own time. Galatians 4, 13 to 16, Paul seems to have this eye affliction. Theologians think that. He has some kind of affliction, some kind of sickness. And they think it might have something to do with his eyes, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul leaves a guy named Trophimus sick in a town called Miletus, right? He leaves him sick. So listen, I'm quoting 2 Timothy 4:20. I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Well, if the early church was praying and had a 100% track record on healing, why is Paul leaving Trophimus sick in Miletus? A third example, Timothy, who was advised by Paul to take some wine for his stomach and frequent ailments. 1 Timothy 5 says this, this is Paul to Timothy, he says, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Your frequent illnesses. Timothy, in the scriptures, was frequently ill. Why does God not always heal? I don't know. I don't get it. Johnny Erickson Tada, some of you will know her story, and I've shared this a couple times before, but Johnny, when she was 17 years old in 1967, went to the beach one summer day. She dove into the water but misjudged the shallowness of the water and tragically broke her spine. For over 50 years, she's been paralyzed from her shoulders down. She's often been prayed for. She went to the elders. She confessed her sin. She was anointed with oil. She believes in faith, but her healing never came. And she's battled suicidal thoughts, depression, and doubts about the goodness of God. Some of you have read some stuff that she's written, but she writes this about unanswered prayer. Quote, he's chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. See, the reality is we live in the already and the not yet. This is an image that is often shared in Christian circles, that we live in the already, that God is king now, that God has come, that in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come already. And so that we begin to see like flowers blooming in spring, like new life all around us, that there's this sense of like the winter is over and the spring has begun, and there's this all-readiness of the kingdom of God. But we also live in the not yet. In the same period of time, we live in the not yet. Like, we're not yet at the new heavens and new earth. We're not yet at the place when Jesus has come triumphantly back as king. We're not yet fully there. So we live in this in-between place, in this already, but this not yet. And so does God heal already? Yeah. Is it not yet? Yeah. And so we're in this tension. Philip Yancey, popular Christian journalist and author, has written a lot about suffering, pain, and disappointment with God. He spent a lot of time with a doctor named Dr. Paul Brand, who worked with leprosy patients in India for many years. And Yancey, in his time with Dr. Paul Brand, came to experience just a real transformation in his own heart as he watched people suffer, but who held to Christ and continue to have faith in Christ. He says this, he says, redeemed pain is more impressive to me than removed pain. Listen to that. Redeemed pain is more impressive to me than removed pain. Philip Yancey saw tons of Christians suffering with leprosy and how they were faithful to God, even when the pain didn't seem to be removed. There's something true about that, right? Now here's the deal. When we haven't seen God heal, we have three choices. I just want to lay a map out here. So number one, choice number one, we can choose to believe that God has passed us over and does not love us. Right? That's an option. And many of us have felt a coldness of heart take over our lives, right? So that's an option. The second option is to read scripture in a way that doesn't include healing today. This is a way of reading the Bible called cessationism. It's how I grew up. And the view is anchored in the idea that all signs and wonders were given to the apostles to kind of kickstart the mission of the church. But now that we have the Bible, we don't need signs and wonders anymore. So the idea is that the miraculous gifts have ceased, right? Cessationism. God just doesn't do that anymore. And this way of the reading, way of reading the Bible is actually quite comfortable because it eliminates any expectation. Sam Storms calls it psychologically safe. Right? So we just go, oh, no, God doesn't do that anymore. So I have zero expectation that God would heal because he just doesn't do that anymore. He did it with, like, yeah, Peter, Paul, James, yeah, that was true. But now we have the Bible. We don't need the work of God today or the miracles today. The problem is I don't find that in the Bible, right? There's nothing in the Bible that suggests that healing was only for the apostles, right, and not for today. I just don't see that. And so I don't love option one and option two right here. I don't love either. And I want to offer a third way. The third option is to live in the tension, to lean into the love of God, even in the tension of the already not yet. There's no easy answers for why God doesn't always heal, but we lean in. We trust God when there is no healing. It's the option I think that all of us who are following Jesus are called to. I don't know why people aren't healed, but my I don't know will not keep me from leaning in love and compassion. In my I don't know, I want to continue to pray boldly for healing because God is a healer. And as I trust that God is sovereign and he has his reasons for all things, I still trust that whether or not we've been promised healing, we've been given a path. And what is the path? The path is that when someone you love is sick, you pray boldly for healing, right? And in great love and compassion, you put your arms around them, you walk with them, and we continue to pray. I believe God wants to reveal his kindness to us through healing. The writer of the book of Hebrews, describes hearing about the salvation of Jesus, but it was accompanied with signs, wonders, and miracles. Listen to Hebrews 2. This is a great verse. The writer writes this: "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." What's the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying the gospel didn't just come as some abstract prayer in my mind, where I just am believing that I'm saved from my sins. It actually came with acts of power. That the gospel, when I first believed that Jesus died for my sins, that he rose again from the dead, it was accompanied with signs, wonders, and miracles, and with gifts of the Spirit distributed to the church. So there was a power that came with the proclamation of the gospel. The good news of Jesus is shared alongside acts of power. And so we watch God put the world back together like those first buds of spring, growing and seeing the winter is over. We see God coming. And our job, North Langley, is to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we have a friend, just say, Lord, would your kingdom come? Your power, would it just come in this moment on earth in my friend's life as it is in heaven? And that's what love looks like, is to pray. N.T. Wright talks about this prayer of your kingdom come, and he says it this way. He says, heaven and earth meet when in the spirit someone calls on the name of the Lord, and it means what it means and does what it does because God's new time has broken into the continuing time of the sad old world so that the person praying stands with one foot in the place of trouble, sickness, and sin, and with the other foot in the place of healing, forgiveness, and hope. I love that. See, it's a posture of the Christian. One foot right there in the sickness and in the muck of it all, and the other foot in the heavens and saying, your kingdom come, your will be done in my friend's life. I want to tell you the story of my friend Joel Olson. 2.5 years ago, he shared his story here at the church. And if any of you want to hear his full story, you can go to our series in the book of James called Pure Joy online and go to the James 5 week. And Joel shared his story, and I just want to remind us of just such a powerful story of healing. When he was 14 years old, Joel was really involved in sports. And for 2 years, he had pain in his hip. And later he found out that the doctors told him that he had Ewing sarcoma in his left hip, the size of a softball. He went through 11 rounds of chemo, 5 weeks of radiation, and they removed his left pubis bone. And in consultation with the doctors, he heard this from the doctors. They said, don't plan on walking again. Or if you do walk, there'll be a limp and you'll be unable to do sports. You will have heart and kidney problems. And here's the big one. You will not be able to have children. Imagine hearing all of that as a grade 9 boy and processing all of that. So Joel went through chemo, and the tumor shrunk from softball size to a raspberry size. And then what he did is he was at CLA, Christian Life Assembly, here in Langley, and the elders gathered around him, and they prayed James 5:14-15, which reads like this: Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. So the CLA elders anointed Joel with oil. And they all prayed. And this is like a life verse for Joel. Like he loves this verse. Then they went in to operate in Joel's body, and the surgeon found no living cancer cells. Also, all the dead cancer cells were gone as well. So let me say this again. God removed all the living cancer cells, and then all the billions of dead ones that should still be there from the cantaloupe-sized mass of cancer were gone. Joel was able to walk. Joel now has 3 children. He was able to have kids, and he names his kids, listen to this, Joel and Amy, they named their kids, first of all, Grace. Grace is the oldest one. God's grace upon their life, grace for healing, grace that they're able to have children. Their second child was a son, and they named him Josiah, which means God heals. And their third child is Isaac, and his name means laughter. Because at this point, Joel said, that's all we could do is we could just laugh at the goodness of God, right? And Joel can't explain it. That, like, you know, why is it that sometimes he has prayed for people himself and they haven't been healed? And why was he healed? And he just talked about the mystery there, right? The already not yet. But I praise God that God is a God of miracles, and we have these kind of miracle stories in and among our church family. We want to see so many more of them. I don't want to let cynicism win in my life. It can so easily win out in my heart, but I don't want it to. Yes, for some mysterious reason, God allows suffering. It's a difficult mystery, but Jesus is inviting me to lean in, to pray for my friends, to take it seriously. He's listening. He promises to move. And I've been praying that God would heal today in our services. Actually, after the first service, a guy came up to me and he said the crazy thing was that for a couple years, he was incredibly bitter. He said in his heart that God had not healed some of the pain in his body. And he said the crazy thing, he says, today in the first service, he said, I was listening, and Matthew, as you shared these stories of healing, I realized that I'm not bitter anymore, that God has healed my heart. My pain in my body's improving a bit, but he's like, the big thing I realized today was that God has healed my heart from bitterness, and I love that healing. And so I was just encouraged by that just after the first service. Because what is the healing? Is it the relational healing? Is it the healing of the heart, a mental healing, physical healing? I've been praying that God would heal today, that sometime this week that I would hear of just maybe even at least one person that was healed physically in our church services. As the Archbishop of Canterbury says, I love this quote, when I pray, quote unquote, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't, right? Or John Wimber, who led the Vineyard movement, who wrote, when we prayed for no one, no one was healed. Now we pray for lots of people, and some are healed, right? So let's pray for each other. Let's have love and compassion for each other. The heart is relationship. There's no weird techniques here. Let's not be that kind of church, North Langley. Some of us grew up in traditions that demanded healing from God. You know, I demand it, you know, and it was all about like your faith-o-meter, right? And how much faith you had or something like that. No, we don't have any tricks for healing here. It's all through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ, right? We don't need to stand like, remember those old televisions with the antenna? Some of you are like, that's the only television I ever had. But you know, you kind of move the antennas around and then you had to put like foil on it, aluminum foil to try to get a signal. And you had to position it in the right way to get a signal, you know? Sometimes we come to prayer like that. Like we just have to pray the perfectly correct way and stand in a certain way to get a signal from God. That's not how it is, right? We believe that God is here. He's very much here. He loves us. No weird tricks here. Here's the point. We just simply pray boldly, anchored in the love of God, entrusting God with the outcome. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. And Craig Blomberg, New Testament theologian, writes this. He says, somewhere in our prayers, we must find a balance between never expecting God to heal and requiring him to heal on demand, right? You know, I just want to tell you a story that happened for me a couple of weeks ago. So there was a guy who grew up in our youth group here at the church, and he was part of, I was a youth pastor here at the church for 5 years, and he was in grade 8 the year I started and graduated grade 12 my last year. And so I got to be his youth pastor for 5 years, and I just love this guy a lot. And he's kind of had a journey up and down when it comes to faith. And he met with me the other day, just a couple weeks ago, and he told me, he says, man, in the pandemic, I've come back to God. Because the last time I had talked to him, he had kind of walked away from God, and but he's always been on my heart. And so it just felt like Christmas morning, like just to hear that my friend, my former youth kid, loves God and is walking with God. I just, like, 2021 is a good year because of that. I was so happy. I was overjoyed. But it was interesting. Actually, the day before, he came to meet with me. I was just praying for him. I was praying for him, and I was quiet, and I was just kind of listening to what God would say. And this is really weird. It's never happened before, not since. But an image of a spine came to my mind, right? Woo. And so I'm like praying, I'm like, whoa. And so I was like, huh, I got to ask my friend about that. So when he met with me, I heard a great story about him coming back to Jesus. But anyway, I said, hey, do you have something going on with your spine or with your back? Because I was praying for you, and I had this picture of your spine. And he was like, dude, totally. He's like, I've got back pain, crazy back pain. And I'm like, man, I feel like God is, by the way, suddenly I'm like the back pain guy here, just so you know. I have two stories and I'm sharing both of them with you. Okay, so anyway, back pain. And so I'm like, okay, let me pray. And I prayed for him just right out here in the foyer, and we were just chatting, and I prayed for him. And so the next day I texted him. I'm like, hey man, is your back healed? And he was like, no. I'm like, ah. He's like, no, it's not healed, but he and I were texting a bit, and he was like, and we just agreed that it was just a beautiful reminder that God had not forgotten about him, that God saw his pain. It was a beautiful time of prayer, friendship, love for one another, and the key is to lean in love for one another, and to know his comfort and peace even in that place. And so just when we come together in compassion for each other, just a couple things, just as you lay hands on someone, as you pray for them, maybe in your life group, I'd encourage your life groups to do this week. I'd encourage you in friendship to do this. Just keep it super simple. As I mentioned earlier, pray in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's the great healer. You know, keep on praying for them. Keep it going, right? Keep it simple and keep it going. We can practice this today, and in a minute, I'm going to have our team come forward. I'm going to invite the pastors forward, any pastor in the room forward, any elder in the room forward, anyone in our prayer team forward, and we're just going to welcome anyone who wants prayer for healing to come forward. There'll also be some people in the prayer room as well, and I would just encourage you to take a step of faith, take a risk. And if you don't feel like coming forward, just turn to your neighbor. I'd love for this room to feel like a prayer room here in a bit. And while the music is playing, for some of you to pray for each other, if you're feeling led to kind of go, hey, how can I pray? That would be awesome. When we bring our friends before the throne and say, God, please heal, it reminds me of this quote, Richard Foster. He says this, if we truly love people, we'll desire for them far more than is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others, and we want to love one another. Can we stand together? We're going to take communion, and if you want to grab the cup and the bread, we're going to spend a moment here reflecting on the healing of God. And friends, the healing of God is anchored at the cross, right? The climax of God's healing is at the cross. And the writer of Isaiah writes, the suffering servant, right, that by his wounds we've been healed. And so I want us to, as we take communion, just to pause here and to reflect on the love of God. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, right now we come to you, the great healer, and we remember that by your wounds we've been healed. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing us of sin, of darkness, from death. And we right now, we remember your body given for us and your blood shed for us, where we have received the great miracle of the new birth. Thank you.